you. After seeing a lot of talk about dry land agriculture moving to a wet environment, I'm from Ottawa, Ontario, and I thought I'd start with a famous painting to give you a background of about compaction and the rationale for the study. And so this is sort of the aesthetic approach to compaction. And it shows, this is the famous Van Gogh painting showing two soil scientists digging, sampling the soil. I guess the point here I wanted to make was that when you have this type of field operation, the compaction problems aren't very severe. But in Ontario, in western or eastern Canada, eastern Ontario, when we have heavy field equipment, even one pass of a heavy tractor can cause compaction, especially when it's wet. And this time of year in Ottawa, it's wet. And Ottawa's in the St. Lawrence lowlands, so the soils there are heavy textured. And so when the soils get wet and they're poorly drained and they're heavy textured, they stay wet. And so the farmers have a fairly small window of time that they can get out on the field in the fall and in the spring. And they often have to get out when it's wet conditions, and this causes, as you can imagine, some severe compaction problems. And that's the rationale for the study. This is from some work we conducted on the experimental farm in Ottawa, and one of my colleagues might be here. Bolo Ma is the agronomist on the study. I'm a soil scientist. But we wanted to take a sort of a holistic approach to the problem of compaction. We compacted the soil, so we knew that the soil would be compacted. We didn't want to measure the extent of compaction. We wanted to look at how compaction and nitrogen fertilization and texture together affect crop yield and crop growth. So the objectives were to look at these in, like I say, a holistic manner, to look at what those factors, compaction, soil, nitrogen, and texture, in combination, how they affect selected soil properties and corn growth and yield. And so to do this, we took some reliable indicators of compaction. We used, we measured penetration resistance. We measured relative compaction by taking bulk density samples, and you can calculate a relative compaction level. And we measured soil mineral nitrogen levels. And we wanted to find out how those factors in particular change with texture and how they affect crop growth and yield. So this was a randomized complete block design. And we had 3 years of compaction treatments. In year two and three, we had all combinations of four compaction treatments and four nitrogen fertilizer treatments. And these were applied perpendicular to one another in strips across the site. So we had 64 plots. We tested these or analyzed the data using ANOVA. And the interesting thing about this particular study site is that texture varied across the experimental plot. There was a consistent change from the front range to the back range in clay content. And so because that clay was not a randomized variable in the design, we could use it as a covariate in the ANOVA. So this is showing you the plot, the experimental design in year three. And it's just showing that the fertilizer recommendation rates for corn in this region are about 150 kgs of nitrogen per hectare. So we applied four different rates, 0, 75 kgs, 150 kgs, and 300 kgs of nitrogen per hectare. And these are applied, you can see the different colors, and they're applied in strips east-west. And then the tillage was applied north-south, as I said before. The tillage was applied with wheel-by-wheel, adjacent wheel patches, paths, and the tractor was loaded up with water tanks on the front and back for a total mass of 14 metric tons, 14 megagrams. So this is equivalent to about what a medium-sized liquid manure spreader would exert, the amount of compaction that it would exert on the soil. And as you can see, it's applied in these strips, and then the normal field operations were carried. And I should emphasize, this is the way it was. We did this every year after a significant rainfall event. So the soil was above field capacity, and it was sort of the worst-case scenario. And I just want to go over the compaction treatments to explain the nomenclature that I'll use. So in year one, we had the soil was either compacted or not compacted. In year two, those areas were split in two so that we could look at a year, like a year-to-year effect. And so the sequence of letters denotes the year that the compaction was applied. So NC means that it was not compacted in year one, in year two it was compacted. CN means compacted in year one, not compacted in year two. Then in year three, we compacted only the soils that had previously been compacted. The rest of the soil site, the rest of the plots were not compacted. This again is to look at the year-to-year, the carryover effect of compaction. We're trying to assess how the carryover and whether the soil is resilient to compaction. So I want to start with showing some corn grain yields in year two. And as you can see, the compacted soils had a yield reduction, a significant real yield reduction of 30%. But the thing I want to point out is this year-to-year effect of compaction. So a soil that was compacted following no compaction had a significantly different yield response to soils that were not compacted after a compaction year. And I'll just go into this in a little bit more detail. And here are the four compaction treatments. And so these are just the crop growth parameters, dry matter, plant nitrogen uptake, grain yield, and grain nitrogen content and harvest index. Just want to go over, first of all, talking about the effects. The significant effect of compaction was evident on almost all of the growth parameters and the yield. So significant effects of compaction. There was no significant response to nitrogen, except to plant nitrogen uptake that year. There was no significant interaction between compaction and nitrogen, but clay content had a significant effect on all plant growth properties. So now I want to go back to looking at this year-to-year effect. So compaction for 1 year following no compaction was equivalent in terms of yield and crop growth as to two consecutive years of compaction. So there's a negative effect, so that 1 year of compaction was equivalent to 2 years of compaction. Then looking at the other way around, soil that was not compacted after a year of compaction was the same as no compaction. And that's for almost all of the plant properties here, plant growth properties. So avoiding compaction for 1 year allowed the plant growth and yields to recover. So there's no carryover effect of compaction on crop growth and yields. Now, this trend carried over into year three for dry matter production. So soil that's compacted for three consecutive years had significantly lower dry matter production than soils that had not been compacted. So that 1 year of no compaction again relieved the yield reductions. But this was only true now this is year three. Compaction was only significant for that dry matter production. There was a significant effect of nitrogen in year three. There's no interaction between compaction and nitrogen, and there was a significant effect in year three with clay. I want to go over some soil properties now. We measured penetration resistance with depth to a depth of about 40 centimeters. After harvest, when it was relatively wet, the soil profile was uniformly wet to about field capacity, so we didn't adjust the data, penetration-resistant data to water content. But as you can see, penetration resistance increased with depth and reached up over 2.5 megapascals at the deeper layers. So compacted soils had higher penetration resistance, and there's a big bulge where this compaction is occurring deeper in the profile compared to not compacted soils. And I just want to deconstruct this graph for you a little bit. This is showing just the compacted soils and no compaction. So you can see that this compaction is occurring below 5 centimeters, between 10, 15, down to 25 centimeters higher soil strength in those compacted soils compared to no compaction. The two soils again come out to show that the compaction effect was the same, not significant differences between 2 years of compaction or 1 year of compaction following no compaction. And then looking at it the other way again, those soils were less compacted that were not compacted, or that 1 year of not compaction following compaction had slightly higher soil strength, right at below the right at about the depth of plow layer. The plow depth is about 15 to 20 centimeters in these soils. So right at the bottom of the plow layer, soil strength is higher, and so there's a carryover effect of compaction on soil strength in these soils. So regression analysis helped us elucidate the role of texture on crop growth and also compaction. This is showing the range of clay content across the experimental site and corn grain yield as a function of texture, showing that there's a significant decline over that range of clay content, significant decline in not compacted soils. These soils were not compacted for 2 years. Now in the extreme treatment, the compacted soils, that grain yield declined significantly as what was much greater, the yield declines were greater on the compacted soils, especially with those with high clay content. And I'm using the extremes here just to clarify, but the other two treatments fell in between those two. So these are the extremes, but the other two treatments that I've been talking about fall within those outer boundaries. And the take-home message here is that the compaction reduced the yields, especially on the soils with heavy texture. So the question then becomes, what's causing that yield reduction? Is it fertility? Is there a reduction in fertility on those soils? So we look at soil mineral content, soil mineral nitrogen. This is post-harvest mineral nitrogen taken after harvest, right after harvest in the fall, showing that there's a slight increase in soil mineral nitrogen, ammonium and nitrate, with clay content. And then on the soils with, that was for the uncompacted soils, but the soils that were compacted had significantly more nitrogen remaining, especially in the clay soils, the heavy textured soils. And the main point here is that there's more nitrogen available in those compacted soils than uncompacted soils. So the explanation here is that the compaction reduced the crop growth and yield, crop growth. Those plants could not take up the nitrogen, so there was more nitrogen available in those clay soils that had been compacted. And so that suggests that the reductions that we're seeing then is due to the adverse soil physical conditions rather than limited soil nitrogen. So then my conclusions of this study are that compaction reduced the yields by about 30% at the extreme. Dry matter production was reduced by about 26%. Avoiding compaction for a year allowed the crop growth and yields to recover. In other words, there's no carryover effect that we could see on crop growth and yields. And the compaction increased the soil strength near the bottom of the plow layer especially. And there was a carryover effect on this property. That was apparent. And the yield reductions that we're seeing were caused by compaction was greatest on the heavy textured soils, on soils with more clay. And we attribute those to adverse soil physical conditions rather than limited nitrogen. And with that, I'll close. Thank you.
I'm saying that what you are saying, the take-home message is compaction is mostly caused by the heavy texture soil.
It's worse on heavy textures.
Yes.
So
what would be the message for the farmers? How they can, use this message?
Well, the first thing we always try to tell them, the big take-home message over all of this is that they try to stay off the soil when it's wet, regardless of whether it's a heavy textured or not. What they can do about texture, it's there isn't much. I mean, they're really stuck with the time frame that they have, and the only thing that we have to say is try to stay off the soil as much as you can. Try to stay off when it's wet.
And I believe there are some shrinking, swelling soils in around the Ottawa region. Was that one of them? And if so, would that account for the disappearance of that compaction effect 2 years after?
These aren't, I don't think they're shrink swell. They wouldn't be characterized like that. They don't have a lot of montmorillonite or smectites. But I don't have an explanation. I guess that there's enough clay. I think the critical factor a lot that we see is a lot of these are silty soils. Silt is a real common soil texture in our area, and silt actually compacts the soil, and if you've got more clay, you get a little bit better aggregation. So in some ways, that helps to alleviate it too. But we, you know, I don't think the shrinking swell is the issue that explains any of this.
Do your soils freeze and so do what depth?
The question is, do the soils freeze? It all depends on when the snowfall comes. If we get a nice cold snap in December without any snowfall, it'll freeze and it'll go quite deep. But I've been monitoring temperature over the last 4 or 5 years in these soils, and it, believe it or not, even though it gets minus 20, we have a meter of snow on the ground, and that's enough of a thermal insulation. So the soils at 5 centimeters were not freezing that I've seen in the last 3 years. There's hardly any temperature below zero throughout the year, even though, like I say, the air temperatures are minus 20. So.
Thank you.